Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome everyone to episode 194 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek. I am back from Japan, and we are going to catch up everything that I missed while we were gone. So that includes Tom Thibodeau being fired, Jimmy Butler mouthing off about his role in the Sixers offense, Justin Holiday being traded, and John Wall now being out for the season. Before we get underway, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles to give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well, Brian, but I am very jealous of you having been gone to Japan.
Yeah, don't be jealous of the jet lag coming back.
Oh, I'll take that. That's an easy trade-off.
Yeah. Yeah, Japan is, once again, a very lovely country. It was a great time there. Unfortunately, I watched the only basketball I've watched in the last 2 weeks, and this is honest to God truth. On some random night, there was like, we were watching TV in the hotel, and there was a special on the 94-95 Magic for some reason.
Nice.
Like, the Shaq and Penny. Like going
Horace Grant,
yep.
Dennis Scott, Nick Anderson, yep.
Yep, going up against Houston, and then like how it led into Shaq joining the Lakers. Like,
nice.
I don't know why this was on Japanese hotel television, but it was a really fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah. But, Nick Anderson just blowing those three throws.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, it was a really good special. Like, they had everyone now, like Shaq and Nick Anderson and Penny, and talking about all those guys. But yeah, aside from that, I have seen precisely zero basketball in 2019. So, more today's episode, you're just going to catch me up on what I missed, basically. And then, like, I'm just going to ask you questions, really, like, why these things have happened, because I'm missing the context for it.
Well, some guy on Twitter taught me how to do threats, basically, so I could actually go in. It's like, so, like, one out of 216.
Right.
Basically, what's gone on is the league has exploded with Harden mania.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah. So, he had a game last night, so I haven't updated these numbers, but going into the game last night, over the final nine before that, he took, on average, 16.8 threes a game.
Wow.
Yep. Huh. It worked for him. He was hitting 40.4%.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he had like a streak of 40-point games, like a 9 or 10-game streak of that?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, wow. he was at least averaging in the area of 40.
Right. Yeah, like the Rockets are good now, and he's right back in the MVP race, neither of which I saw coming 3 weeks ago.
No. That's where we are right now. Like, this was Harden's, time. While you were away, Harden just kind of cemented himself again as one of the, elite players in the league. Nice. Not that there was any question surrounding that, but,
right.
I mean, he just had to, throw in a little reminder.
Yeah. And I take it Russell Westbrook is still shooting, like, 3 of 20 every night.
Yeah, so a friend of mine sent me this, which is great. Russell Westbrook is shooting worse from downtown.
Uh-huh.
You know, than Greg Popovich is doing in winning championship on an a yearly basis. Like,
oh,
Pop's,
wow.
Yeah, like Pop's rings to seasons ratio is actually higher than Russ's 3-point.
All right, good. Great. All right, well, the first thing I saw that, like, you know, I was not on Twitter very much at all, except to post, like, pictures of food, because I really wanted
to
torment.
Oh, I saw. Yeah. I saw.
I wanted to torment everyone. Well, now it's all just, like, sitting inside of me, and I gained 10 pounds, so the joke was on me, ultimately. But the one thing I did see in somewhat real time was Tom Thibodeau being fired.
Right.
Why now? Like, why is it? Has there been any context or reporting of, like, why the Timberwolves did this now instead of, I don't know, say when Jimmy Butler demanded the trade and let him oversee it?
Yeah, no, actually, the only thing I've read so far was that it didn't really matter that they were coming off a 22-point win. Like, uh-huh. Most people were kind of focused on that. They just beat the living crap out of the Lakers.
Yeah.
And then he got fired, and he was just, like, he was blindsided, and everyone, like, Taj Gibson as well, were like, wait, what just happened? but apparently it'd been building for a while, and, you know, Saunders Jr. is taking over now, which is, like, they got their first win, and that's kind of special, so mm-hmm. we can spin it in a positive sense, but looking back at the Tips experiment, like, he didn't even survive half his contract.
Right.
Like, that's pretty bad, however you slice it. And I think a lot of it had to do, really, with the rotation pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just didn't learn, man.
Yeah.
Just didn't learn. And the defense, for some reason, is just... Well, actually, not for some reason. We know why. Like, his defense, you know, icing the pick and roll and doing all those stuff. That's just been negated by the fact that people have now started to take, like, 33s a game mm-hmm. on an average... Actually, I looked this up today, actually. 31.1 is the number on average for teams taking threes per game.
Okay.
And just 10 years ago, it was 18.1.
Wow.
Yeah, so that basically just negated his defensive know-how, because now when you know, when you try to force teams baseline, just swing the ball back out on the top. Hey, 3-pointer from a big guy, right?
Right.
So his defense just didn't... It wasn't really future-proof, I guess.
Yeah. And also, the personnel in Minnesota have not necessarily panned out as you would hope.
I was trying to not go there, Brian.
But it's fair, right? Like, I mean, Towns puts up big numbers as a shot blocker, but he's still not Rudy Gobert or Steven Adams or Joel Embiid in terms of a rim protector. Andrew Wiggins has those flashes defensively, but is not the consistent stopper that you would want as a Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, that type of player.
I like that you go all with those names, like with Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, is he even a Nene defensively? Like, you go with the Gobert, Steve Adams. I'm like, is he even a Nene?
Yeah, well.
and I mean, Wiggins, you know, like, not Paul George. Is he a Trevor Ariza even? No, not. I mean.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess it's fair to say they're, like, so far away from that. But like, that's what they're two number one overall picks. Like, ideally, especially Wiggins. I don't know that Towns, coming out of college, his selling point was more offense than defense, right?
Yes, yeah. It was.
Yeah. But, like, Wiggins, the selling point was, like, this guy is a monster athlete. He should be a 20-point per game scorer and a defensive stopper, and
and an all-around player,
right? And he's lived up to one part of that. He is a 20-point per game scorer, just not efficiently, and it is not a couple
years ago he was.
Yeah, well, but now he's also not a consistent stopper.
Yeah, basically not consistent at anything other than being inconsistent.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Jeff Green as the number one overall pick.
Oh, I've seen so many recent Jeff Green, Rudy Gay comps, and I'm like,
oh,
why are you going after Rudy? What has Rudy done? I mean, if Wiggins ends up with a Rudy Gay career, isn't that like a win?
At this point? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
sad. Oh, that's sad. Oh my God. We need to, like, yeah. Tips is out. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was, like, genuinely curious. It was like, was there like a locker room meeting that happened? Like, because again, I mean, I just haven't been following the day-to-day minutiae as I would while I'm in America. So I like legitimately thought I missed something as to why they fired him now. Because like, you know, I read Woj's story and that didn't really say anything. It was just like, I think I saw Shams say there was something about like season ticket renewals was coming up.
Yeah, that that was part of it. Yes, I've heard that. I don't know how much stock you put into that, but guess you know, that's just people talking.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I haven't really gone on The Athletic, or I didn't go on The Athletic when Tibbs was fired. I was just I stuck to the Woj story, and more or less, I didn't really go into the minutia of it because I was like, obviously,
right?
Like it just made sense all the way through it because we've been talking about Tibbs not even, you know, he shouldn't really go into this season. He should have been fired last summer.
Right. Or so, at least, you know, like when the Jimmy Butler stuff happened and Tibbs is still in control, the problem, I mean, we said it like for years now, the problem of him being the dual coach slash president and like the conflicting, as a coach, you want to win now. As the president, you need to look further ahead. And, like, they were reportedly prioritizing guys who would help them stay competitive and win now in a Jimmy Butler trade. Whereas, in theory, like, you know, I love Covington and Saric. So they're both great players. They've helped the Timberwolves stay at least competitive. Relative. But, yeah. Like, you might not have much to show. You gave up three, you know, young, I don't want to say blue chip prospects because I don't know if you necessarily feel that way about like Dunn and Levine necessarily, but three young guys who should have been part of your franchise for a long time, like Saric and Covington are good players, but I don't know that they necessarily have the ceilings. They definitely don't have the ceiling of a Lauri Markkanen, who you gave up in that deal. So, yeah. You know, if you had separate coach GM role, the GM would say, well, you know, we can get a Covington, but we should also get that Miami 2021 pick that Philly got in the Zaire Smith deal. Because, like, we should balance now and later. Whereas Tibbs, as the coach, is probably just like, nah, I'm now obviously fighting for my job. I just need to, like, keep us as relevant as possible now. Screw the later, because I'm probably not even going to be here.
I don't remember if there are any more anyone left in that dual coach GM role.
I mean, I don't know if Pop necessarily counts.
Well, Pop, he's okay then.
Yeah, I mean, right. He has final say, but they have another general manager running the
team. Yeah, R.C. Buford.
Right,
yeah.
So, and who has won, like, executive of the year. It's not like he's some figurehead schlub, you know?
No, but like team president. Because like in Minnesota, Scott Layden was the GM and Tibbs was like the team president. So
yeah.
But if there isn't anyone left in that specific role, then I think this will be the death of it. I don't think we'll see that again.
Because it was Doc was there, but he got stripped of the team president role.
Correct.
Bud was it in Minnesota or in Atlanta, but that's now gone. Stan Van Gundy had it in Detroit. He's now out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think Pop is probably it, which is really how it should be. We've been railing against the dual idea for a while.
Yeah. And with Pop, it's fine because he's proven it. You know, he's proven he can handle it.
Right.
And he has a sense of looking at the future. Like, fair enough. You know, the Kawhi Leonard trade might end up not being the greatest because you could have maybe gotten a Pascal Siakam or an OG Anunoby. You know, you'll manage.
Right. Right. If that's your worst screw up in 20 years, you'll survive.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we move on from Minnesota, I have seen reports that they're considering hiring Fred Hoiberg.
Yes. I don't think that happens. Okay. Simply because what is his first name? The Saunders' son,
Ryan.
Ryan. There we go. Yeah, there we go. Sorry. I mean, look, there's a lot of love there because of the legacy of Flip, obviously.
Right.
And I think they're going to run him into the next season and see what's up. Okay. That wouldn't be surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, look, that team needs an anchor of some sort.
Yeah.
And that entire franchise loved Flip. Mm-hmm. And with Ryan there, there's an emotional connection. And I think that that city and that team needs it. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, because when you look at the roster, when you look at the roster construction of the last, what, 10, 14 years, it's just been, you know, if, you know, this talent in, this talent out, you know, a guy been given like a 1 year chance to do something, then out of the door again. It's just been a revolving door.
Right.
And if you can just settle up that head coaching position and, you know, for at least 4 or 5 years, that's going to be a start. Yeah. And Hoiberg, you know, I know that he got jerked around by Garpax. I really do. But at the same time, I'm just not sure he's an NBA coach. Like, he just seems better at the college game because he's more of like a player's coach and like a teacher than a guy who can really demand the respect in the locker room. Not saying that he has to be like a Tips,
right?
You know, screaming everyone's head off. But a head coach also has to demand respect and attention, and he just did not seem to be able to do that.
Right.
Could you imagine putting him next to Wiggins and Towns?
Exactly.
They'll eat him.
Yeah, that was my question about this whole thing, because like, that was the criticism of Hoiberg, was that like, he's not necessarily the guy to like light a fire under his players.
Right.
And if Towns and Wiggins are your franchise players, both of whom like may need like a hard-driving guy to light a fire under them, is Hoiberg the right choice?
Here's what I want, right? If Hoiberg is hired this summer, I want someone with mad Photoshop skills to just, you know, create this picture of Hoiberg on the bench with, you know, Towns just laying down in a fetal position with his head on Hoiberg's, you know, one thigh.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, Wiggins, with both of them with their thumbs in their mouths, just like, and with Hoiberg just looking like this dead coach going, you know, this is all be fine. This will all be fine.
Right. You know who they should hire is Jim Boylan.
Oh, no. But at this point, though, like, Tips has to be really frustrated with Fred Hoiberg.
Oh, yeah. There can't be any. Well, I mean, Hoiberg hasn't gotten the job yet, but yes.
Just with the fact that he was rumored, like, every single time Tips out the door somewhere, it's like, hey, Fred. What up, Fred?
I bet his next contract, if he gets a job again in the NBA, he's going to have, like, a non-compete clause, where it's like, if you fire me, you are not permitted to hire Fred Hoiberg for 12 months.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
After my firing.
Oh, I would love that.
All right, let's change gears. Let's go to a former Timberwolf, Jimmy Butler, because this was a story that while on vacation, I did not want to see. But at the same time, I was eternally grateful that I was not on Twitter very much for these 2 weeks, because I'm sure it was just a nightmare. But
no, it wasn't as bad.
Really?
It wasn't as bad. Yeah, yeah.
Really? Okay. Well,
no,
so
it was bad when it hit.
Yeah. So the story is Woj and Ramona Shelburne reported, I guess only a couple days ago. It felt longer than that. But he said Jimmy Butler has aggressively challenged Philadelphia Sixers head coach Brett Brown on his role in the offense, complicating an already tenuous chemistry among the team's big three hierarchy.
Right.
He was vocal in his contesting of Brown in the system. Basically, he just wants to run more pick and rolls and isolations.
Yeah.
So people didn't freak out?
Oh yeah. They did initially, and then a couple days later, it was actually more toned down.
Huh.
Then I was surprised too. I figured, oh, this would be like a two-week venture into crazy land.
Right.
But it hasn't been, and I think Brett Brown deserves a lot of the credit because he came out like, yeah, I kind of agree with Jimmy on a few things. Like he and we're competitive, and I need to do a better job. And like it just seemed that that this was Jimmy trying to be competitive in his own messed up way.
Uh-huh.
And Brett Brown coming out and going, oh yeah, I know what you think. I know you all think it's the ego, it's the competitiveness. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the pick and roll, I mean, yeah, he's not a dribble handoff type of guy, as Brett Brown himself alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
He is more of a pick and roll guy, and you know, I think Brett looks at it as a challenge to, you know, figure out how to best run all those three at the same time.
Okay.
But of course, like, it wasn't great, sure. And I think it's fair to say this, Brian, without going into details.
Okay.
We heard something before you went to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So this didn't really come as a shock.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then I am literally forbidden to say anything else.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, at least this puts the focus back on where it should be. Like, Sixers Twitter has spent the entire season on either fire Brett Brown camp, or we need to trade Ben Simmons camp, or like there is a vocal minority that is correct in asserting like, hey, they're not a championship contender because they don't have any depth, and Furkan Korkmaz is starting games in some instances or like playing a big role, and like until they address that, nothing else, they're not going to win the title, which is that's the correct camp to be in. The other two are just like, Why are we even, like, you're just on Twitter because you're bored and you want to get in arguments. fire Brett Brown, he's terrible. But the Jimmy stuff...
Wait, you know, get into arguments on Twitter?
Never.
Never. Never. No, I'm sorry. My bad. I only thought former video coordinators did that. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Since you have never been in the NBA before...
This is true.
Your opinion is invalid, and you should never win.
This is very much true. It is very invalid because I haven't been fired by the Washington Wizards. This is true.
Oh, man. Yeah, but, like, here's where the focus should be for Sixers fans for the rest of the year. Their whole goal going in was get a third star. Like, the whole point of this season was get a third star, whether it was in 2019 free agency, whether it was via trade, or whether it was by Markelle Fultz remembering how to shoot a basketball again. Those were the three options.
Mm-hmm.
They got Jimmy Butler early, which is great, because you need, as the last 2 months have proven, you need time to work him into your system. It's not a seamless...
Correct.
Like, you can't just slide a Jimmy Butler in and expect overnight results. Like,
right, because he's like a mini Harden. He needs possessions.
Right, and he needs to control the ball a lot during those possessions. Right. As you said, he is not a dribble handoff guy. Like, he needs to have the ball in his hands a lot, which is not what the Sixers do. Like, they don't run pick and rolls. They don't run isolations. They're very big on dribble handoffs and ball movement. So it was not a natural fit. So figuring that out is the big challenge this year, along with the depth issues. But also, this summer is coming. And, like, the Sixers can offer him more money and a longer contract than anyone else, but that doesn't mean he can't go to the Clippers or to the Nets and say, like, screw it, I'll still make $145 million with you over the next 4 years. Like, factor in that fifth year that I sign on my next contract, and it's not a gigantic difference. What? Do you think...
Yeah.
Well, do you think that this blow-up affects his free agent market?
Yeah. You knew exactly where I was going with this.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets a max.
From anyone?
Yeah. Well, no. No. Outside of Philly, will probably have to offer it at this point.
Right.
But if they're... it's a delicate dance, because I would understand if no one else offers Jimmy a max, then mm-hmm. why should Philly?
Right.
But at the same time, you don't want to come in and be really aggressive about it
yeah.
and be disrespectful or whatever, because then Jimmy might end up signing elsewhere just out of spite.
Right.
And you don't want that either.
Right.
So the one team where you could see him actually end up signing a max is Philly.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Of course, it always takes one team. Like, the Knicks could easily just do something, but I'm just hoping that's not the case for anyone. I think this is troublesome, because we are looking at a situation potentially where Jimmy would be joining his fourth team in 4 years.
Right.
This summer.
Yeah. And he's approaching an age where, look, right now Jimmy Butler is still one of the 15 best basketball players in the NBA. I think it's mm-hmm. fair to say. He's Correct. Approaching an age where there will be a drop-off at some point. And he's going
to be, for sure.
He's going to be paid like he's the team's number one player. But I right. think if Jimmy Butler is your number one player for the entirety of his next deal, you aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I think the decline is interesting, because I don't think it's going to be as significant as some, you know, uber athletic guy who uses all of his, you know, all of his athleticism to get points.
Oh,
like, I don't think, yeah.
We're going to talk about John Wall later. Don't worry.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. You know, I think there is a level to his game that will allow him to, in some parts of the game, grace, you know, age gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of how do you do that while also, you know, finding that balance on this team while making yourself a championship contender year round year in. Because, right. you know, here's my entire problem with Philly right now. The entire point of the process was to have as many shots as possible as getting stars
mm-hmm.
and getting, like, you know, a team that was so super rich in talent that you could move pieces around and, you know, find the right team that could be competitive for, like, 12 years, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
All right. I don't know if you agree with this, but as far as I'm concerned, you have one shot left, and that is Markel Fultz becoming the Washington Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
If he does not do that, game over.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have a little more flexibility, if only because you still have the Miami 2021 pick, which I think
right.
is a valuable chip, if only because I know the one-and-done thing probably isn't going to happen that year, but it's still a completely unprotected pick, which just
mm-hmm.
aren't offered all that much, especially right. now. I mean, I can't remember the last time, like, you know, a Toronto Raptors this year would offer an unprotected pick because they know it's going to be in the late 20s, but, like, we have no idea what that Miami pick is going to be in a couple of years.
I mean, well, you know, but Miami knows that they're in that situation. And you know yeah. Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Like, he is not going to give up that pick if it's a high one, if you know what I mean. Like, he
right,
will.
Right, right.
The summer leading up to that, he is going to build the living dude out of that team. I hate not being able to swear on this podcast anymore.
Unless he's with the Lakers, of course.
Hey, Pat. Yeah.
Yeah. Join the Lakers. Just tag the 2021 season away. It's fine.
I'm just, you know, being thrown back immediately to LeBron's first season in Miami.
Uh-huh.
Like, Hey, Pat. Yeah. You want to coach?
Yeah.
You want to coach?
Yeah.
Hey. Do you ever think about coaching, Pat?
Yeah.
Hey, Pat.
I don't like Luke Walton that much, Pat. Come on over.
Yeah.
I'll even let you bring Spo. I like him now.
I like him now.
I think you're right. Markel is their best hope to get mm-hmm. that, like, last piece of the puzzle. There will be some flexibility. They'll have some free agent money this summer, depending on what happens with Redick. But you're right. Like, their flexibility is far less than it was 2 or 3 years ago, which is the point. Like, at a certain point, you have to cash in. And, like, there are, you know, Zach Lowe.
Whoa, hang on. That wasn't my point. My point is, that's why they shouldn't have gotten rid of Hinkie.
Oh, well, I mean, duh.
No, right. But just see what happened. Like, as soon as he was left, but let's call it what it is, indirectly fired, in some capacity.
Right.
Like, that treasure trove just began to, you know, bleed dry.
Yeah.
What have you got now? Yeah, you got the 2021. All right. But again, Pat might, you know, do everything in his power to make that, you know, not as attractive as we're making it out to be now.
Right.
Then what?
Yeah.
Then what? I mean, you know.
And I think, you know, the problem that we're discussing with, like, the short-term problem, aside from the questionable fit of Butler, Simmons, and Embiid, is the lack of depth, which you can directly attribute to 2 years of Brian Colangelo not acquiring rotation-caliber players aside from J.J. Redick.
Right.
Like, Furkan Korkmaz, they declined his option heading into this year, and they're only playing him out of desperation. But, mm-hmm. like... He struck out on a number of draft picks that weren't Ben Simmons. He traded up for Markelle Fultz when you could have that Sacramento pick. I mean, look, I don't blame him for doing that because it made sense on paper. You could not have foreseen what happened with Fultz in the 18 months since. But
I agree.
You know, like TLC, again, like on paper, a great fit. Didn't work out. That Pasechnik's trade... terrible. This is an awful idea right away. But he also just didn't add anyone of value. Jared Bayless, like, okay. It ended up being right. Salary filler in the Jimmy Butler deal. Amir Johnson, fine. Like, good locker room leader, but is a walking corpse this year. He's not playing.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you spend 2 years, you know, that's the difference between the Sixers and Toronto. Where Toronto was also in win-now mode, but then they still get guys like Siakam, OG. Who else? Who did they trade for in Kawhi? The big guy.
Oh, Jakob Poeltl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they still had some young guys with talent. DeLon Wright, Fred VanVleet. Like, they kept a good young bench and developed those guys, whereas that's where the Sixers had fallen short in recent years. So, I'm just shocked that
They just got Pat McCarr. McCarr.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, good for Toronto. They're finally. I'm so proud of you, Toronto. You're actually going to maybe win something this year. But to wrap up the Sixers stuff, I'm pleasantly surprised that the reaction was more muted than I expect. And I guess you're right. Like, I did see Brett Brown came out and said, like, yeah, Jimmy's right. Like, I had no problem with him voicing his opinion. As he should. So
right.
Hopefully.
But I mean, it was bad. You know, I can't. Oh my god, I am so used to swearing. You know, it was insane for the first day or two.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But after that, like after all the reaction pods and reaction articles came out, and people on Twitter were done laughing, like it kind of quieted down. I was definitely anticipating a 2 week bender on this, but
right.
Yeah. No.
Good. See, I'm glad I was not available to do an emergency pod that day. That worked out well.
Yeah. Like, there are still, like, snide remarks here and there, of course. That's fine. I mean, you know, I get it. Like, look, Jimmy is, you know, an a-hole.
Right.
He has been for a while. I mean, I think even he knows that.
Yes.
I think everyone knows that. And I think that is the level of understanding that we've gone to, like, collectively. We go back to that whole, oh, that's right, Jimmy's an a-hole.
Right.
And then... we laugh at it for a day or two, and then afterwards, back to business. Then we'd be an a-hole again in a couple weeks. We'll talk about it for a day, and then that's just going to be the way it is.
Doesn't he, like, openly cops to being an a-hole?
Oh, yeah. I think he does.
Yeah.
I think he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big Michael Jordan fan in that regard.
Oh, like,
He is trying to emulate Mike, I think, in
for
that,
sure.
you know, I'm going to murder everyone mentality.
Right. And that, like... I don't know. I don't necessarily... Again, I don't know how confrontational this was, but, like, Zach Lowe's piece today on the Sixers made it sound much more benign than it was. Like, apparently, Brown literally asked if anyone had anything to say, and then an assistant coach, like, challenged TJ McConnell to voice his concerns with the offense, and then Jimmy came out and was like, yeah, let's run stuff I'm good at running. Like...
Mm.
That's what any good coach should do, is, like, cater your system to your best players. And I'm not saying Brett Brown isn't a good coach, or I'm not saying that he's not trying to do that, but I am saying that's why you traded for Jimmy Butler in early November instead of at the All-Star break. there's still 3 months between now and the playoffs to figure these things out, which is great. And like I've been saying it for a while. I fully expect the Sixers team to look far different on March 1st than I do right now. Let's hold our hot takes until then.
Agreed. And also, I mean, I think a lot of it is just, you know, a reaction to that whole team not sinking as well. That goes to the whole Ben Simmons thing. Like, a lot of people have gone on the record like, hey, maybe it's time to trade Ben Simmons.
Right.
And I think most of them are going that route because they think, you know, they just acquired Jimmy, so there's no way he's getting traded immediately once again, and they don't want to lose him for nothing in free agency, so they're kind of looking at trading Ben as like the final solution. And you know, I've you know, brought that up a couple of times, but it's like the package has to be right. I mean, a desperation trade of Ben Simmons would be the worst thing in the world right now.
Yeah, like Lowe ended his piece by saying two things could be true: the Sixers could win a title with Embiid, Butler, and Simmons. And the Sixers may have to trade Simmons at some point ahead of his, not restricted free agency, but like 7 years down the line.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read that piece yet. I heard his pod with Bill Simmons.
Mm.
Oh my God, that was so great when those two are back together again. Oh yeah, well you should. That's always fantastic. But I was planning to read it. I just didn't come around to it, but. Yeah, that's the perfect way to sum it up, really.
Yeah, and he went through some hypothetical Simmons trades, and none of them made sense. That's what he said. Like, there aren't really trades that make sense for him. Just like,
oh, did he bring up Lillard?
He brought up McCollum.
He's like, so close.
They would need more. And you wouldn't do it unless you're ready to get rid of Lillard, too.
That kind of leads into my point. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, let's move on from the Sixers. Let's go to your...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Bulls, I saw they made two deals, actually. Congratulations on the guy, Michael Carter-Williams, for like a hot second. That was fun.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
For a cup of coffee. And $1 million, I guess. But
more
importantly, the Memphis Grizzlies traded Wayne Selden, Marshawn Brooks, not Dylan Brooks, Marshawn Brooks, and their 2019 and 2020 second round picks to the Bulls for Justin Holiday, breaking my heart because he's a guy who I thought the Sixers should have been all over.
Yeah, I just did not understand this whatsoever in terms of, you know, why New Orleans in particular weren't all over Justin Holiday here.
They've waived Brooks already, right?
They did after the Michael Carter-Williams trade.
Okay. Are they keeping Selden?
Yes. It seems that way. He's at least given a shot.
Okay. So, really, it was like a low-level rotation player and two second-round picks.
Yeah, which is a great return for the Bulls. Now let's see how many of them they sell off to Golden State.
Right. Yeah. So $7 million and Wade Selden. Perfect. What did you think of the deal for the Grizzlies?
Loved it. I mean, look, here's the thing. I mean, a lot of people pointed to Holiday shooting 38%.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of a thing that's done lately. And he just went into a slump. But the guy, when his feet are set and he's, you know, you know, spotting up in transition, he's incredibly good. Mm-hmm. He's not the greatest defender, but he's not a bad defender either. Like, when he's tacked with, like, the 3 and D label, it's kind of false.
Right.
But at the same time, I get why it's made, because he can defend two positions, but he's not, like, Kawhi Leonard about it or an OG Anunoby about it. Like, right. He's just, you know, average, slightly above average on any given night. But it's the volume of threes. Before his slump started, I was advocating that he would get like $9 million a year on the open market, because he was hitting 3 triples a game at one point.
Wow.
At almost 40%.
Jeez.
And that's, you know, that's the type of thing that teams pay for through the nose. And especially if you're not like a liability defensively. And, you know, he is long and he is active and he's also kind of athletic, even though he's, you know, almost 30. He's not, you know, let me just look it up. He's got, like, less than 7,000 minutes of NBA court time. That is virtually half of what Andre Wiggins have played already, when mm-hmm. you really think about it, which is insane. So, you know, he's got somewhat fresh legs, and, yeah, I was looking for a lot of teams to pick him up. I was really blown away to see it was the Grizzlies, of all teams. But, I mean, here you go.
I mean, I love it for the Grizzlies. Like, especially because it seems like they've been kind of struggling as of late.
Yes, they have. But, I mean, so has Holiday. Holiday's played 3 games for him.
Yeah.
And he's 4 of 18, 0 from 6 from downtown. He's he's had 12 points in 54 minutes.
That's
so,
not great.
Yeah, so it's not the best of starts. But I do think that there is a component of you know, truth in him being able to raise this team's level as soon as he gets a little bit more acquainted with his teammates and starts, you know, just getting out of this slump, honestly.
Yeah. And, I mean, you brought up his field goal percentage, but also, like, a grand majority of his shots are from three-point range.
Right.
So, you know, when if we're holding his field goal percentage against him, keep in mind that literally 67% of his shots are threes. Like, mm-hmm. it would be shocking if he shot in the mid-40s with that type of shot volume, or like his diet of shots, I guess.
It is a problem, though, when you look at the last 15 games of the season. He shot 23% from downtown and 28% overall. And given that the season is, what, not even 40 games old yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it actually is. We're halfway.
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize that. All right, fair enough. But that's still a fairly large chunk of the season.
Yeah, that's fair.
He really had a good start to the year, and then he just kind of cooled off, and it was sort of similar last year. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is just his MO.
Have a great 20 games, try to get paid. They should just shut him down for the year.
Yeah. Which reminds me, and I didn't really want to, you know, bring this up because he's played so well, but remember when this was the thing that Paul George did?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he played wonderfully for the first half of the season, and then the last half was just like, eh.
I know. I'll be really sad if that happens this year.
Oh, I don't think it will, but I'm definitely looking out for it. Yeah. Like, I was every box score for the games I don't watch, I'm like, what did you do?
I know. Yeah, I didn't realize just how bad the Grizzlies. So they, basically, since I left the country, they've won 1 game. That's not great.
It's been pretty bad. It's been pretty bad. But it's strangely enough, from my perspective, I hadn't even looked at like the slump specifically. It's 6 games, and then it was broken by the win against San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, it's the West. I don't think we take, you know, these small, you know, whatever you call like a 6-game slump. I don't know if you can call that a slump, but I mean, look at the competition.
Right.
Look at this league right now, especially when the top of the league. Even if you go over to the East, like, you have Boston, who's really finding their stride. You have Toronto, that just look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the West now, you have Denver.
Yeah.
Just, you know, owning everyone. And teams coming out of nowhere. So this, on the one hand, just doesn't surprise me. And this is partially why I was kind of skeptical of why it should be specifically Memphis to trade for Holiday. Mm-hmm. I think there are just more suitors out there that where it would make more sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, Memphis I guess that hot start makes them think they can make the playoffs, which is fair. I mean, they have just again, it's still the West. Like, there's a 5.5 game gap between 4 and 14 in the West.
Mm.
And we, as you said, we are now halfway through the season. Like, it's still anyone right. aside from the Phoenix Suns could still feasibly make the playoffs. And I guess Memphis is figuring, let's just add one more wing and see if that gives us the extra push we need.
Well, they're going to need it because Dylan Brooks is out for the year now.
I saw, and JB Bickerstaff was more upset about the leak of that information.
What was that about? I don't know. I only saw that in passing on Twitter.
I saw a video where, like, they asked him, is Dylan Brooks out for the year? Shams just reported it. And he's like, well, I'm not going to confirm or deny, but I'm mad that this information leaked and we need to figure out who leaked it because we need, like, it's normally we need to submit like a statement from the team with this kind of info. So basically it sounds like they're waiting for
it's confirmed.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like he's probably out for the year or a large part of the year, but it sounds like maybe they were waiting for a second opinion and maybe Brooks's agent or something leaked it to Shams would be my guess. But Bickerstaff seemed very pissed about it.
Yeah. And then Chandler Parsons just, you know, is not with the team anymore.
What is that about?
He wanted minutes, and, like, he was going to be sent down to the G League, and he was apparently open also to play games for him, but it just, I think he wanted, like, a clear plan, like, moving it forward. Like,
yeah.
For him to get reestablished.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I still think he's one of those guys, I think, who suffers a little bit from, hey, I used to be of a certain standard, and I think I still am that standard, so, you know, just look at my contract kind of way. Yeah. Not that I think he's completely unrealistic, but given, you know, all the injuries, I understand why Memphis is kind of weary about not really bringing him back and going, hey, look, you're starting small forward from day one. Like,
right, right.
No, there's a lot of water under that bridge now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. I mean, look, who's going to trade for him?
On that contract?
Right? I actually had an idea about that. Because remember our very long conversations about trading, you know, bad contracts for worse contracts?
Mm-hmm.
How would Nick Batum fit in with Memphis now that Dylan Brooks is out and, you know, Parsons obviously not coming back.
Yeah, I guess the only thing from Charlotte is if you do that, you're basically telling Kemba to leave.
I guess.
Right? Because, like,
you're... I don't know. I think Kemba's loyalty right now is just, like, doesn't matter. I'm staying. Like, Hashtag hoarded for life. Right. Something like that.
Right. Or maybe you tell him, like, if we by doing this, we will get worse, but we'll clear up cap space sooner so we can get you more help.
Like, and we get a top-notch rookie, maybe, Zion Williamson.
Yeah. Well, Charlotte's, like, still in the playoff. They're, like, too good to fail right now. So far, at least. I mean, the problem now is, like, if you're...
Oh, they are.
Yeah, if you're trying to tank, you're not going to catch Phoenix, Cleveland, New York.
Nope.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Chicago, maybe. Like, at some point, maybe the Bulls put it together just because they were so unhealthy early.
No, I don't think so. The offense has been just dreadful.
Oh, you don't like just all of the Robin Lopez post-ups?
No, I don't. But then again, I'm not a former video coordinator.
Right. Yeah, so like...
But it's an interesting point about Charlotte because I was... You know, obviously, I was wrong. I was thinking, I didn't really look at the stand. I thought they'd won around 15, 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then by losing Nick Batum, like, you would lose a component.
Right.
But, I mean, they're at 19-21, so they're almost at 500.
Yeah. They would have a playoff spot right now.
Yes. So even if you trade Batum, like, you still have Kemba, who's going to win you, like, what, 15 games?
Right. Yeah, I think at best, any team that isn't, even if you tried to start tanking right now, I think the best you can hope for is the sixth worst record in the NBA.
Yeah, and then you just have to play the lottery odds. Okay.
Right. Right. And, like, that's assuming we'll talk about Washington in a minute. That's assuming they don't go into the tank at some point. Orlando did its annual, like, start hot and now is garbage again.
Yeah.
Who knows what's up with Detroit? Like, Charlotte may back into the playoffs regardless.
Right. And even Washington, I mean, we need to look at them as well because, you know, this actually fits because we're going to be talking about John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
But Bradley Beal has just taken ownership of that team right now. And they're 3-2 over the last five, and Beal has been balling.
Yeah.
So he could actually lead them to, like, a handful more victories just by himself for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Again, like a too-good-to-fail kind of team?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's... Memphis is in a really tough spot because, like, they also have to juggle. They owe a top eight protected pick to Boston this year, where, to some extent, I think we've talked about this before, since the draft class right now doesn't look spectacular outside of the top five, you may want to even give that pick up now because the protections get worse and worse from Memphis's perspective.
Yeah.
Next year and the year beyond that. I think it's top six protected next year and then completely unprotected the year after that.
Right.
So you like almost want to give up that pick now, which is why you want to stay competitive and not fall too far out of the race. But you also, I mean, ideally would not like to give up the number 9 overall pick just because that still has some value. So yeah, they're in a really tricky spot. It's going to be fascinated. This trade deadline should be so interesting because there are so many teams that could convince themselves. Again, there's 14 teams in the West that are in the playoff race.
Like I actually wrote a primer on the trade deadline for my Danish patron.
Oh, nice.
And I realized while writing it and looking over teams and their contract situation that this, like, normally you have like a handful, maybe 10 teams that are really active, that could be really active, like potential, you know, very hardcore actors on the trade deadline market.
Mm-hmm.
This year it's 30 teams.
Yeah.
Because every team has an advantage to gain by going out to play the field right now. Like even Golden State has to be looking over at Toronto going,
right.
I could use a little something, something.
Right. Yeah. Like there are so many teams that should be buyers. And then there are, like, at least five clear ones that should be sellers. But then who knows what happens with some of the other teams, some of the lower-rung teams in the East. I don't think there are going to be too many sellers in the West because, I mean, like, all of the teams are out of the playoff picture right now. Like, the Pelicans can't be sellers. You just can't do that with Anthony Davis free
agency. Oh, no. Pelicans should be buyers. This is why I'm so wondering about, you know, Justin Holiday. Yeah. It would have made so much sense. Only a $4.4 million cap hit.
I know. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. But you know, we are going to see so many rumors of deals. Like, I'm bringing up Nick Batum again because I think he's a prime example. Like, going to Portland for, like, Evan Turner and, like, Myers Leonard.
Mm.
Like, some of those deals, like, they would just make sense.
Right.
Like, a team that's in the playoff hunt looking to get significantly better, even though they, you know, get worse, if you understand my meaning, like, right, contractually.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's a gamble they need to take.
Yeah.
And by the way, in regards to, like, what you just said, outside of the top five of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, while you've been away, Cam Reddish has turned into not a top three pick. Oh. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
He's been horrid.
Great.
Absolutely horrid. Here's a guy who's not even like a high volume playmaker, and he was averaging 4 turnovers and shooting like 22% from the field or whatever. It was really, really bad. So a lot of concerns have risen up about him. So I'm fairly certain he's going to fall out of the top five, top three at least, top five maybe as well.
Okay.
Some teams will look at his upside and go, yeah, he was just, you know, stuck in a situation where he couldn't be his own man. That's fair. But in the NBA, he's probably not going to be his own man anyway. So you need to take account, you know, take that into account.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, Jarrett Culver of Texas Tech has really broken out. Oh. And you, of all people, would love him.
Oh, yeah.
He's your type of player. Just, you know, 6'6", 6'7", strong build, improving shooter, can get to the cup, aggressive defensively. He's one of those guys right now, like, looked at as a, you know, kind of-ish top 10 pick who could easily find himself in the top 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you would love him.
So I'm going to be pissed when Boston takes him with Sacramento's pick. Got it.
That could actually happen, yes.
Wonderful. Since we were teasing at Washington, let's wrap up on them.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. So John Wall, who already did not have a fantastic contract heading into his Supermax, is now out for the rest of the year to repair bone spurs in his left heel.
Right.
As you said, Bradley Beal has been a monster since that news came out. The Wizards are, it looks like they've been 3-2 since without Wall. Bradley Beal has 20 points in each of those games, at least 20 points. He's averaging almost 35 assists, nearly 5 rebounds, 4 threes. My God. He went supernova on the Sixers last night, which was really fun. That said, the Wizards were already in a tricky spot in terms of salary cap flexibility with Wall Supermax kicking in, with Beal on a max deal, with Otto Porter on a max deal, with Jan Mahimi just taking up $16 million in dead space. Do you think this Wall injury affects their trajectory at all heading into the trade deadline?
I mean, I think... No, not necessarily. I think they were, regardless of whether John was, you know, healthy or not, I think they were looking at doing something with this team because, you know, the Kelly Oubre trade just, it didn't fetch enough of a return to make it look as though they were finished.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked at as the beginning of something. I will say this. Candace Buckner came out with, oh, what's her outlet again?
The Washington Post.
There we go. She actually brought up something that was very interesting on Twitter. So apparently John Wall's heel has been a problem for years, and it's been bothering him for years.
Okay.
And maybe that can explain why he's been somewhat inconsistent from a year-to-year basis. And now it's like this whole process is being made in a way where John is like, you know, now I need to get it taken care of permanently.
Right.
So I can rehab. I'll spend these 6 to 8 months rehabbing and then I'll get back and I won't have any pain left in my heel.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that's the case, like there is actually some light at the end of the tunnel because it might not be this very... you know, inconsistent version of Wall we get back. It might actually be a legitimate, you know, 2 years ago John Wall. And that could change a lot of things in Washington because, I mean, yeah, we can criticize Wall for being, you know, not a great leader, not a leader at all, actually, and, you know, being somewhat lazy. But even that, like the latest part of him not running, yeah, if his heel is hurting and he's standing still, like that kind of makes sense.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's a subplot that they're going to be looking at and looking at John's rehabilitation and kind of judging off of that, honestly.
That I didn't realize that about... That is interesting.
It is. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that John Wall will be, you know, in an all-NBA guy or whatever, but it's at least worth some consideration if he's going to come back and play at, you know, the level that a prime John Wall can.
Right. Yeah. The other thing I've been intrigued by with the Wizards of late is that Otto Porter, you know, he missed a couple, looks like 10 games, came back at the start of January, and has been coming off the bench for the last 5 games.
Right.
It's a lot of money to pay Otto Porter to play 20, 25 minutes a game.
I was kind of concerned about that, honestly. We'll say this, it's worked so far. He's averaging 15.5 points in 22 minutes.
Yeah.
He's coming in just gunning away, and he's actually doing what you and I have talked about. Not in specifically, you know, in regards to Otto Porter, but you and I have talked about guys who can come in and be on a minute restriction, but where the head coach is going to let you just go balls to the wall for like 20 minutes. It seems as though that's the role that Porter has right now. Like, he's given those 22 minutes and he's just got like the green light for everything in those 22 minutes. Like, just go get yours. Which I think is interesting, because it might be a way for Porter to actually, you know, regain some confidence. I think he lost a lot of that in recent months, especially leading up to the season. So, but you know, what do I know? I haven't gotten fired by the Wizards. So.
Right. You might have a little more insight into that whole situation. Yeah. I mean, I saw some quotes from Scott Brooks about it too, where he's just like, it seems to be working. We're going to keep trying and tinkering with our rotation and we'll see. And I guess, if that's your, maybe that is the theory. Like, you need more bench scoring, and you can't count on Jeff Green necessarily to give you that.
Whereas, no, you can't count on Jeff Green, really.
Yeah. I know, shocker. So I guess that's like the theory now, is Beal is just going to be this, like, Beal's going to be Harden Jr. They're going to have Ariza to hit threes, even though he apparently hasn't hit one in 3 games, and then. Yeah, well. Otto Porter is just going to come off the bench and go for 15 to 20 and hope their depth can help sustain the loss of Wall.
Can I tell you something interesting? Bradley Beal, he's 0.2 points away, but if he comes out on 24.4 points a game, then he's on track for 2,000 points this season.
Wow.
And we talked about him a couple months back, where, you know, after the whole Washington Wizards blow up article came out, and like, we were both in full agreement with one another in regards to, you know, the one guy you should try to find a way to keep at all cost is Bradley Beal, unless of course you're willing to blow it all to bits, in which case you should get the most from Beal. Like, Beal right now is that one guy where you just like, yeah, he's the best trade asset, and the best asset you really have. The way that he's playing right now, I'm not sure you could actually justify trading him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talked about him, you know, heading before I went on vacation. We did our like who should be an all-star pod. Yeah, or like Bradley Beal, we lean yes, but like the Wizards are so bad that who knows? Like, if he keeps doing this, he's a lock.
Oh, for sure. Like, and here's the thing. He's 25.
Yeah.
Like, he's 25. He won't be 26 until the offseason.
Is he, because of the snafu with Buddy Hield's age, isn't he younger than Buddy Hield?
Yeah, he is.
It's incredible. Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good, but then again, look at how much this is why I hate the idea of drafting seniors compared to freshmen.
Right.
I mean, look at this. Now you have a Bradley Beal who's what, in his, what, 7th season?
Yeah.
And what is Buddy in?
3rd?
Like, yeah. Something like that, right?
Yeah. His 3rd season.
Right. And he's apparently older. But Beal now, because of all this NBA experience and, you know, him going through the trials and errors of the NBA, like, right now, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-NBA player, but he's playing at that level.
Right. And that's with all due respect to Hield, who is also having a career year and is playing really well.
Very well, yes.
But to your point, he's old. Like, Bradley Beal is a better player than Buddy Hield. And he's a younger player than Buddy Hield.
And it's the age that's just very interesting to me. Like this is why I don't want necessarily to, you know, attach myself to a senior, because I know there's going to be somewhat limited potential.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I'm getting something that's closer to a done product. Like this season from Buddy Hield, I wonder if this is like the best that he's going to be.
Yeah. Or even if not, I mean, at a certain point, like, he's already 26 now.
Yeah.
Even if he has a couple more years where he improves somewhat, like, he's still already in what should be the beginning of his athletic prime. Like, there probably isn't as much room for growth as we've seen from a Bradley Beal over those 7 years.
Right.
Like, I mean, yes. Year 7 of Buddy Hield is not going to be the best year of his career, most likely.
Correct. But both Buddy Hield and Bradley Beal are in their physical primes right now, at the beginning of their physical primes.
Right.
But one guy just has the advantage of having been in the NBA so much longer that he understands the ins and outs, and, like, the game has begun slowing down for him.
Right.
Like, Hield, even though he's older, just because he's lacking the same NBA experience, he's a couple years away from having that moment where, the game is actually beginning to slow down.
Yeah, he's played 200 games, or 203. Beal has played 448 regular season games.
There you go. It adds up quickly. I mean, just one rookie season, you almost get a lead on 100 games.
Yeah, that's wild.
It matters. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the Wizards approach these next couple weeks, because they're one of the teams... You know, I think it's fair to say that, like, the Hawks, the Knicks, the Cavs, the Suns are probably going to be sellers. At least the Hawks have no need for a Jeremy Lin or a Kent Bazemore. Like, they'll try to trade away their veteran pieces if they can. The Knicks will happily trade away Courtney Lee, I'm sure. The Wizards are the one team where it's like, if they go on a little bit of a run, the East is just so weak at the bottom that I could see them talking themselves into being potential, like, a number 8 seed. But I could also see them talking themselves into, like, let's just rebuild around Bradley Beal. Let's do whatever we can.
But, you know, they can't.
Right.
Because of Wall. Like, right. That is just a major problem. I mean, look, you cannot build around Bradley Beal without acknowledging that, hey, you know, your backcourt mate has to be John Wall.
Does John Wall currently have the worst contract in the NBA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even ahead of Andrew Wiggins.
I was thinking Kevin Love, too.
I remember our summer together as well, Brian.
our what in God's name are the Cleveland Cavaliers doing?
I still love the look of our wives looking at us when we walked around like animals laughing.
Yeah.
like in that theme park. They were just like, that's our husbands.
Yeah.
Yep.
And 6 months later, it remains just as inexplicable.
Yeah. Well, I have another kid coming now, so.
That's true. Big congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, I did something right, I guess.
Unlike the Wizards.
Unlike the Wizards, unlike the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah.
Well, on that note, I think that's a good place to wrap up before we alienate two more fan bases. So, thank you all for joining us. Again, I'm sorry that we couldn't record during the whole Thibodeau being fired or Jimmy Butler snafu, but...
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you go to Japan?
Thankfully, I mean, I'm happy we didn't record during the Jimmy Butler thing. I saw that on Twitter. I, like, sent one snarky tweet, and I logged off for 3 days because I knew there was just no good that was going to come of that. But now I'm back, and I'm not going anywhere for a while. So we will be back to our regularly scheduled podcast. And we've got a fun trade deadlines coming up soon, All-Star break soon. So we'll have a lot of good stuff in the coming weeks. In the meantime... Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handle in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. The right Brian.
Who are you?